don't want this to drag out, but sometimes it does. So it could. It could drag out. If you're a gambler, you know, if you're somebody who likes to, I don't know, run around Cash Creek Casino Resort.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a gambler, then you could play this into next week and basically bet that Jonathan's not going to get the offer that makes you uncomfortable. But it could. He could. And then what do you do, Hotshot?
Yeah.
What do you do? Are you matching the offer and then playing it out and either hoping to trade him later or hoping to keep him? You can do that, but it feels so dangerous to me, number one. And number two, here's the side of it that I think no one really talks about, and is I just, as much as Jonathan has so many fans in this fan base, I firmly believe that if the offseason, if the big improvement that the Warriors make is they're like, look, we kept Jonathan Kuminga, I think everybody's going to be so disappointed. I think it is such an unsatisfying offseason. If you get to 2 weeks from now and everyone goes, how'd you get better? The Rockets got Durant. What'd you do? Oh, well, we brought back Guy Santos and Jonathan Kuminga. You're going to feel empty, whether you like Jonathan or not.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the player anymore. And I think you said this last segment about, you know, take the emotional part of it out of the equation, because right now you look at Jonathan Kuminga and he is a very good player. And if he doesn't fit with you and he wants to be elsewhere and you want him to be elsewhere, then you put that aside. Because now, if you're the Warriors, your job is to go from what you have to get better. Because you looked at last year and you could say what you want about their chances, and I don't think that they would have beaten Oklahoma City even if everyone stayed healthy, whatever, we'll never find out. But the fact is, you were one of the last eight teams to play basketball, and the NBA is at a spot of parity unlike any we've ever seen. Seven champs in 7 years. And just because OKC is young and under team control and intact and all the rest of it, the odds of them repeating next year are not great.
No.
Just based on the history.
They're bad.
Yeah, I mean, just based on where we are right now with parity and with everyone's Achilles tendon, etc. So if you're the Warriors, you're thinking, we've got to get better. That's where the desperation lies. And so how do you go from June 27th to July 7th? You've got about 10 days to get better.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Got Valkyries action tonight, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and we are coming to you live from the Cash Creek Casino Resort, which is fantastic and has been a wonderful host, and we are looking forward to experiencing so much more of it both tonight and tomorrow with our stay out here at the resort. Beautiful, beautiful stuff going on. So, yeah, tell them about it, Zucci. Exactly. So, anyway, I like to sort of further that, I also, you mentioned the Thunder. Like, think about the NBA Finals and think about what we saw. And I'm listening to what Mike Dunleavy has said, because they can't name names, but what they can do, and this is what every sports media person does when it's like, hey, free agency's around the corner. Who do you want? Well, I can't name any names. All right, give me the characteristics of the person you want. And do you know what I heard him say? He didn't use these words, but I heard him say, I want a bunch of people like the Pacers have. That's what I want. I want to fill this roster up with people who can shoot the ball outside, and then when the other team gets the ball, not fall on their faces defensively. The Warriors have a few of those people. They don't have enough. They do not have enough. And I'm sorry, Kuminga fans. That's not it. I know he wants to be that. Although, in many ways, what he's basically saying is, no, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be your faceless pacer. I don't want to be Benedict Mathurin. I want to be a star. I want to be the guy that gets to do all of the stuff. Okay. Chase that. That job's full here. Go ahead and chase that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to fill in around the core that we already know is going to be here. The big three. He mentioned Pods and Moody as well. And then That's what they're looking for. Well, I mean, I'll ask you, Dibs. If you keep Jonathan Kuminga, how are you getting any of those guys? How? Tell me how. You're not.
No, you're not.
That's why I use the word desperate.
You're looking in the veteran minimum market, and those vet min guys are probably not going to be good enough to be core members of your rotation. So, you know, the ideal thing would be for Jonathan Kuminga to be a part of it. He's young, and he can score, and he's improving in the rest of it. But as we've seen in the most recent games that the Warriors played, they don't see him as that guy. He had multiple DNPs, did not play, coach's decision down the stretch. And so that ship has sailed. That door is closed. So how do you get those guys? And you and Mark Grandy did a whole show on Cam Johnson. And
I love him.
He's the kind of player.
He's perfect.
He's 28 or 29, and he's a 3-and-D guy. He can score. He can defend. He's the type of guy you're looking for. And, you know, those guys in general are not available. So you need to find a team that's willing to part with an asset in exchange for your asset, Jonathan Kuminga. And a team like Brooklyn is actually the perfect fit because they're not that interested in winning this year. They drafted 5 players in the first round.
What a weird thing that they did.
Super weird. Yeah. And, you know, they're just looking to probably be good in 2 or 3 years. And so, yeah, a guy like Kuminga would be a fit for a team like Brooklyn. And there's other teams out there that he might fit with, but you got to go out and about and try to figure out how you make this work.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But that's, I mean, just to give you an example of why I use the word desperate, believe me, look at the Warriors. No, they're not acting desperate. They don't want anyone to know that they're desperate. If they were sitting right here in front of us, they would deny that they're desperate. Desperation is never a good negotiating position.
Right.
I think Jonathan is desperate. How could you not be? Like, let's add that into the conversation. How could this guy not feel desperate? Like, right now, what he is sitting down and doing is he's negotiating his year 23 and 24 and 25 and maybe 26-year-old season. Do you think he's comfortable with the idea that the word restricted is in front of his name, knowing that if he signs this contract, it could be 4 more years of DNPs?
Right. Right.
When you come to the playoffs, like, he's not comfortable with this. And Mike Dunleavy said something real interesting yesterday when he said, I know Jonathan wants to be an all-star, and I do see a path for him to do that here. That was a very interesting way to say it. I see a path for him to do that here. I bet everybody could answer that. What's the path to Jonathan Kuminga being an all-star as a Warrior?
The path is stick and stay,
yep.
Be patient,
yep.
And in 20, checks the calendar, 29, when Steph is 40 and maybe gone, and Draymond's 38 and gone, and Jimmy Butler's gone, at that point, yeah, JK, we're going to give you an apron, we're going to give you a spatula, and at that point, we're going to let JK cook.
Yeah, ma'am.
But in the meantime, we're going to need you to be the busboy, we're going to need you to do some dishes, and maybe we'll let you be the maitre d' every now and again, but you're not going to cook here for a while.
Right.
That's the path.
Right. And that's not the path he wants.
No. And, no. I mean, I've lived it. You've lived it where you've been a sidekick. And I was an update guy for many, many years. And was there a path at my old station for me to be a one? Maybe. But I got to a point I was tired of waiting. And so I took my talents to South Beach, and, you know, JK doesn't really have the ability yet because he is restricted, but he's gotten to the point after 4 years where he's ready to not be a sidekick anymore. He wants to host his own show.
888-957-9570. Let's take some calls on this. Willie and Dibby out at Cache Creek Casino Resort. We are absolutely having a blast. But let's hear from some of you. Let's go to Rodney in Oakland. Hey, Rodney, thanks for the call. What's going on?
Hey, fellas, thank you for putting me on. I appreciate it. I was just thinking here, there's two timelines, right? It's always talked about two timelines. And the first timeline with Vetzer is over. Draymond Green averages a triple single for the season, right? JK could do that half the game. They have to keep Kuminga. Let Draymond go, because Curry, when is he leaving? 2 years from now or a year from now?
Well, his contract is year to year, Rodney. So right now he is only signed for this coming year.
So let's just say he's 1 year, because that's what he has. Let Draymond go. Let Kuminga take that spot. Get a big, a true center, and roll with it and see what happens. Because if Steph really wants the fifth ring, it won't be with Draymond, because he's not productive.
Yeah, Rodney, so what I find with your point, there's two things that pop to mind, and I can almost feel a lot of the listeners feeling this way. First and foremost, even if your opinion was an accurate one, I bet you'd be willing to admit they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. You see Draymond one way. They see Draymond another way. And I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. What I will tell you is I think what you're doing is leaning too far into stats. So when you say Draymond averages a triple single, well, Jonathan can do that. Well, technically, Rodney, anybody can do that. Anybody can go average a triple single. But that is clearly dismissing the things that they value in Draymond. And I bet even you would admit, Jonathan and Draymond could not be more different players. So to say, Jonathan, go do Draymond's role, the first thing I can tell you is your defense sucks. Like you're asking him to be the quarterback of the defense of the Warriors? That is not in his skill set.
No, I'm not asking him for that. You got Jimmy and you got Steph and Pod to always go and jump into the WNBA game. You know, just they got to do it, man. They got to pull the Band-Aid off and just say, hey, it's time. Steph, if you want a fifth ring, Draymond got to go. We got to develop these young cats to move you to that fifth ring, because time is of the essence.
Yeah, I hear you, Rodney.
I appreciate that, Rodney. And the Band-Aid, if you were going to pull it off, you would have pulled it off when Draymond was up for an extension and you gave him 4 years. So that was Band-Aid time. And instead of pulling the Band-Aid off, you actually wrapped some gauze around it.
Well, I mean, everything that he just said there, and he's not alone in feeling the way he feels about Draymond, but to say, okay, you got to go to Steph and say the path to the fifth ring is to develop these young guys. No, that's the path to Steph wanting to be on a different team. I don't think you're crazy if you want the Warriors to develop the young guys, but that's not a path to a ring. That's a path to retirement. That is a path to, you know what, we think that this is crazy. You're 37 years old. We think we're pretty much done. We don't want to give up the young guys, so we're going to focus on them. And, Steph, maybe we could get you to New York or something like that. Like, again, I don't think you're nuts for thinking that way, but the idea of get rid of Draymond, now Steph wins a ring with a 22-year-old,
yeah, no, that's not happening.
Like that's not the way this is going to go.
And for me, the whole idea of getting rid of one of the old guys to keep the young guys, the ship sailed, because you got rid of Poole, you got rid of Wiseman, and I know Wiseman has not yet done anything that makes you regret it. Jordan Poole's gone out and at least been a scorer, and now he'll be on his third team, and you can think what you want about Jordan Poole, and everybody has a different opinion of Jordan Poole and why he left. But for me, the more you look at it, they have been doubling, tripling, and quadrupling down on older players. You got rid of Jordan Poole and you brought in Chris Paul. So you went from a young, up-and-coming player, star, whatever, you can use whatever word you want, and you brought in a 37-year-old point god. And then you went out and you brought in Jimmy Butler at 34, 35. So you've only been doubling and tripling down on older guys. So now you're sitting here with Jonathan Kuminga at 22, and he might eventually be an all-star down the road. I ran down my list before of guys who it took a number of years to get there, and he could be Jermaine O'Neal, who had to go to a new team. And in year six, he did become an all-star. But right now, you are not ready to play the waiting game. You're in the what-can-we-do-right-now game, so you're not thinking about getting rid of one of your old guys, who, by the way, has four titles and is coming off of first-team all-defense. That's just not even in the conversation.
No, it's just not. And objectively, like, I don't think you're crazy if you're, like, done with Draymond. I know that that speaks to a lot of Warrior fans. But objectively, you do. If you think that, you do have to answer the question of how do the Warriors play defense next year. You have to answer that question. He's the quarterback of the defense.
Right.
There is nobody else on this roster who can fill that role right now. So Can he, gosh, can he annoy you? Can he frustrate you? Are you done with him? Is he declining? We can have those conversations.
All the above.
I still don't think it has anything to do with, yep, time for the Warriors to move on, and then poof, now you can really contend next year. No, no, it means that the whole thing is done. Look at the way that they reported what they did in the draft, in the first round on Wednesday night. They wanted to get into the first round. They tried. It didn't work, but there was only one guy they wanted. One guy. The Warriors didn't try to go get Cooper Flagg. I mean, obviously, that's absurd.
Sure.
But the Warriors were interested in one player. That's it. No prospects. They are not interested in developing people right now for the long term. They are interested in helping their veterans. And they thought there was one guy who could do that. And they tried to move mountains to go get him. Weren't able to do it. But I'm interested in the fact that that's the only thing they were interested in. For better or for worse, the Warriors' minds right now are not on 2028. They're not thinking about 2028. And you can criticize them for that. But right now they're thinking about 2025 and 2026.
And that is where my mind is, and you know, I hope that many fans who are listening can also put that in your mind. You can disagree with what the Warriors are doing and what the Warriors' approach is, but I do think you have to have clear eyes about their direction. And I don't think that they are, you know, trying to fool you or pull the wool over your eyes. They're exactly what you're talking about, Mark. It's this year, it's the year after. And probably that's it. And anything beyond the next 2 years, they're not even thinking about that. They're obviously not stockpiling prospects because Jonathan Kuminga probably is on his way out the door and Poole already left and Wiseman as well. And so you're looking to just get now players. And you can disagree with the approach, but they're pretty clear, I think, in their direction, which is we have an old team. We're not afraid to get older. And we're going to try to do it right now.
I have a prediction for you.
Yeah?
Monday's show is going to be crazy.
You think?
Yes.
Well, between now and then, they probably will have extended the qualifying offer to Kuminga, or between now and Monday, they might have already traded him. I don't think between now and Monday that the two sides have come to term on a long-term deal to keep Kuminga a Warrior.
Agreed. No. I'm going to predict right now. What hour should I put on this?
Stand on it. Stand on what you say.
All right. Yeah.
Stand on what you do.
Yeah. I think Kuminga's going to have a new home before our show's over on Monday.
Kukush?
Sure.
Are you going to lock that up?
I just did.
No. You didn't say Kukush, and you didn't say lock that S.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's 12th on the list. Okay. I got to tiptoe into certain things here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lucas,
you know,
is on his A game,
you know,
back
what I mean?
Here. Thank you.
You know what I mean?
So before
I believe that Jonathan Kuminga is going to be on a new team by Monday at 6.
Kukush.
Yeah, Kukush.
By the end of our show Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And thank you, Lucas.
Yeah.
You're bringing
that's,
it home.
That's
very good.
That's my prediction.
Okay, tough guy.
Yeah.
What team? I mean,
The Savannah Bananas. Okay?
One more, Lucas.
Kukush. Yeah, there it is. All right, let's go to Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. Hey, what are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm at the dog park. <Hey. laughs>
I'll give you three guesses. I just want to guess.
I'm at the dog park right now.
Sitting with the dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
good,
yep,
dog.
Yep,
yep.
Good dog. Good dog.
Good dog.
Okay, I got something to say about that, too, Diz, in a second. So, okay. First off, there's a tip I've been wanting to pass on to you guys for a couple of weeks now. And this is for you and for anyone that wants to use the S word and doesn't want to get cut off. So, and it comes from a series called Department Q. Outstanding series, by the way. You might want to check it out. It's set in Scotland. And I learned that the Scots have the S word all right, but in more polite company, they add an E to the end. And they,
thanks, Gene.
Thanks, Gene.
All right.
All right.
Anyways, with regards to Kuminga,
yeah,
Dibs, you'll be pleased to know that my dog Chili totally agrees with you that the the most likely outcome is a sign and trade, and would also be the best outcome, really. It gives him, as I understand it, more flexibility, you know, more team, possible teams he can go to, and it gives us, hopefully a quality player in return. So, but something has to happen. He has to go. There's exasperation all around. There's exasperation with the team, with the coaches, the front office, with Kuminga himself, and with the base. We're just all tired of this. Enough is enough. It's not working. It won't work. So one way or another, he'll be gone. Once again, I hope we get a quality player in return. And if we do, that will be, you ready for this, a jubilation sensation.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, you had already, Gene, you had said that everybody was exasperated, and both Dibs and I were like, there it is.
Bring it home.
Bring it home. Bring it home. And then you went jubilation. Look at you with your curveballs.
You are.
Thank you, Gene. Appreciate the call as always. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on this. One thing Gene was saying, though, that maybe history will look at it this way, but I actually don't even like the word exasperation on this. It's almost more hesitation. If you want to look, because exasperation makes it feel like everybody's mad at each other. And I'm sure there have been moments of that. Absolutely. I'm sure that we know Jonathan Kuminga has been frustrated with Steve Kerr. We know that Steve Kerr has been frustrated with Jonathan Kuminga. There are moments there. But I do think at the end of this, at the bottom of this, I don't think the Warriors think Jonathan is an awful player. And I don't think that Jonathan thinks the Warriors are an awful organization. And to the point that you have made a number of times the last couple of weeks, there is absolutely a chance that y'all are going to still have to coexist for a period of time.
No doubt.
There's so you better keep this
tread
in a certain
lightly.
Spot. Yes.
Absolutely. And, I think that what you said is accurate, but at the same time, if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, I'm looking at the situation and saying, man, you guys, you kind of held me down. You didn't give me as much burn as I would have liked. And if I'm the Warriors, I'm looking at Kuminga and I'm thinking, you didn't really do a lot of the things that we really, really needed you to do. And because of that, we didn't play you as much. All the little things we really, really needed, you didn't do. And Kuminga's thinking, I wanted to cook and you guys never let me in the kitchen. So I do see both sides of it and where they would be exasperated, but you're right about what I had said, because you may not have a sign and trade that works and there may not be another offer that you have to match, and so you may wind up going back to Kuminga on Monday and saying, hey, they say they don't want me, nobody out there wanted to give you a boatload, and we're kind of stuck with each other.
2-40
How about one in a qualifying offer? Maybe it's just a one-year deal.
Wow, I mean,
honestly, 2-40. If you're Kuminga, you might just say, just give me 1-8. I want out of here so bad that I don't even want.
So that he can be unrestricted next year.
Exactly.
I don't know too many people that sit at tables and say, "Keep your $32 million guaranteed dollars. I don't want them."
True, but
that would be some next level stonage.
Yeah,
if he did that,
but. At the same time, he would have the freedom that he probably wants.
A year earlier.
True.
But 2-40 is both making you a very rich person and guaranteeing you some money, but really keeping all kinds of flexibility on the table.
2-40 becomes much more tradable.
Yes. It's very tradable. Yep. And by next year, by next offseason, it's already an expiring deal. You know what I mean?
Scenario you're laying out reminds me of my life in 2020.
You were offered 2 years and $40 million?
No, but
the hell are you doing here?
It was a situation of convenient inconvenience.
Okay.
So my ex-wife and I, we decided in January of 2020 that we were going to go ahead and part company.
Okay.
It was a great run, 25 years as a couple. Both kids were grown.
Wait a minute. You had this conversation a month before everyone found out about COVID?
If you would just pipe down for a minute and let me tell the story.
This is amazing.
It was January, Mark, of 2020.
All right.
I was a month away from the disgrace at Chase, and we were 2 months away from a complete world global shutdown. And my wife at the time, now my ex-wife, we decided that we were going to be good, done and dusted, whatnot.
You were ahead of the
7 weeks later, you know, shut it down. So we're getting divorced, but no one can go anywhere.
Right.
So, you know, if you don't mind, I'm keep living here. And I'm going to broadcast from the living room. I'm going to sleep in the living room and broadcast from there. And then, you know, 3 months later, the world slowly started to open up and the rest is history. But it's kind of what I'm thinking about Kuminga and the Warriors. It's like, you know, we kind of want a divorce, but, geez, you got nowhere to go and we got nowhere to send you. You want to sleep on the couch
until
the trade deadline?
It's actually a very, very funny and true comp. And that's kind of where my mind keeps going.
Yeah.
And it's why I cuckooshed Monday. Because I'm telling you, I know that a lot of us, I know that we're sitting there going, no, come on, Jonathan's going to be a great player, and they got to keep both hands in both cookie jars. Like, come on, we're going to maximize Steph, but we got to be ready for, come on, let him play, let him grow, let him. I'm telling you that if a week from now we're all still sitting here and the Warriors are like, all right, that's our offseason, Jonathan, I'm telling you, I think that sounds like hell for everybody. For everybody.
Yeah.
For him above everyone else. For the fans. For the players. For the coaches. Oh, my God, the coaches. Like, oh, my gosh, the interviews.
Steve, did we lose you?
Holy crap. I mean, what are they? They are so. You think we're exhausted by this? They live this. They live this every day. Every question. Every back meeting in the boardrooms. Everything is about this guy and the future and his role and what role and Steph and contracts and all this. I'm telling you, I don't think there's any room for it anymore. And I think everybody is just completely exhausted by the idea that that's your off season.
Right.
We lost in the second round and we came back with, here we are all
same
to
thing.
Run
yeah.
it back again.
Well, what did Ramona Shelburne say to us? I think it was earlier this week. And I'm kind of losing track of the days out here at Cache Creek.
Yeah, and, it was one of them.
It feels like, I mean, it feels like we've been here forever. This
I
place
know.
Is so incredible. I don't want to leave. But Ramona said, like, the offseason, it all goes through Jonathan Kuminga.
Yep.
Until you get a resolution with Kuminga, you can't even think about doing anything else. And so your point about it being done by Monday at 6 o'clock, it's really what the Warriors would want. Because if it is a sign and trade, then that will probably be the majority of your offseason anyway. You sign Kuminga, you package him with somebody perhaps, and you get another player in, and then you can go out and wait until day three of free agency where you can go bargain shopping, because you're not going to be a front line. We're bringing in big-time guys. If you do a sign and trade and you get an asset, then you can kind of wait for the vet min guys and other guys to kind of shake free, and that'll be your offseason.
Well,
and maybe it's your own guys, GP2 and Kavon, that you know decide to bring back and whatnot.
And I think it's important to note, like, there's more than one kind of player they need. Like, they'll sit there and admit, yeah, we want 3-and-D guys. We want to surround everybody with people who can shoot and they can also really hold up on the defensive end. But you know what no one has said yet? Like, you do need more point guard depth. And, oh, by the way, you still need someone tall. Like, we've all been begging now for 3 years. You need someone tall. Luke Kornet, who is a free agent from the Celtics, I think is a perfect fit to be a Golden State Warrior. But how do you go get the three or four people? You got a mid-level exception.
Yep.
Okay, you can do some vet min things. Could you clear a little bit of money, though? Or could multiple players be involved in some sort of sign and trade? You've got more than one need. And again, if it's even something that doesn't feel like much, 2 years, $40 million for Kuminga, that's it. That's it. You're done.
Yep.
You're done. You have your mid-level. You can go get a player. And so, again, I don't think that takes the Warriors, like, off the map or out of the playoffs. I just think it'd be wholly unsatisfying. And brings to the table, like, okay, now you're done with the offseason. Then when the season starts, well, now what do you do? Now what do you do? Are we doing this again? Are we like 2 years, $40 million, go sit back down and watch games?
No, we get into like, camp, and Steve said, you know, we're gonna try like heck to make it work. And you know what, Mark? If we get a camp and we get Jimmy and Steph and Draymond and JK all together, you know, it's gonna be up to me, Steve Kerr, to figure out how to make this work. And that's great. Those are words, and I do believe that if that happened, they would try like heck to make it work. But the whole idea of Jonathan Kuminga wanting to go be somebody's one, and well, now you're still here and you're our four, I don't know how anybody would be able to get over that. And like you're saying, so let's just play this out a little bit. You bring back Kuminga, 2 years and $40 million. You starting him? You're probably not going to start him. It's going to be Steph and Jimmy and Draymond and probably Pods, because, boy, we love Pods.
What a player.
And then you throw in whatever big man.
Yeah, you need a big man.
Something. And so Kuminga re-signs, and you're coming off the bench?
Right. And when you get in the game, Jonathan.
We'd rather you not shoot.
Pass.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that going to go?
I'm sorry.
I'm with you.
It's funny. I mean, we started this conversation here, and I think I'm even further down the road now that you and I are talking this out. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It just doesn't. It's not a workable situation, in my opinion.
It's not, but sometimes you got to do things that you don't want to do, and I'll bring you back to my pandemic divorce analogy. And luckily,
it's a good one.
And I actually will be at that house tomorrow for my son's graduation party.
Say
and
hi to her.
Luckily, I will. Yeah. We have a great relationship.
I know you do.
Thank God. I mean, if it was one of these classic F-you divorces, and I had nowhere to go, that would have been absolutely brutal. I mean, this was civil and friendly, and you know, I'm making dinner for the family still, and it's like the only difference was I wasn't wearing the wedding ring, and neither was she, and this and that. So there are ways to make it work, but you know, you might get to a spot where, sorry, JK, I mean, I wish I knew how to quit you.
Well, that's
but
the
we
other
can't
thing.
Trade I mean, you.
You can sit here and say Steve Kerr came on our show and went, well, absolutely this can work. And if we have time to do what we didn't have to do in the regular season, if we've got a training camp, we can make it all work out. And we can get together and we'll start, you know, we'll run some plays for Jonathan and we get it all. Yeah. And what if that doesn't go well? Now, what if you start the season 2-7?
Oh, boy.
How are we doing? Like, and
you can't trade him for 6 months.
No.
So,
like, this is the, it's, while everyone will sit here and go, trades are hard, and we're chilling. I love the Warriors just make it look like they're wearing flip-flops everywhere they go. It's summer, they lay by the pool, everything is wonderful. I'm telling you, man, I think behind the scenes, there is a very high-stakes poker match going on right now, and everyone is freaking out. That's what I think.
Well, the other piece, and I'm just going to inject this not knowing 100% for sure that this is how he feels, but it seems like Joe Lacob really likes Jonathan Kuminga.
He does.
And so at some point, he has to sign off on all this, and I wonder if there isn't a part of him that still is holding on to the hope of what Jonathan Kuminga could be, because you drafted him, you've had him for 4 years, and he has shown signs of being an electric, terrific, star-in-the-making player. It hasn't been a consistent showcase of that, but ultimately, he's got to be the one to rubber stamp any of this.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
And he's been a fan.
Well, no doubt. He's been a fan, but then again, we've known that, like, I mean, we did this, I think, for a number of months with James Wiseman. Oh, he's a big fan. He's a big fan. He's a big fan. And gone for second rounders.
A lot of them.
Gone.
Yeah.
Right? Gone for GP2. We're bringing back someone who was already here. Gone. And he greenlit that. So, like, I do think, and this is one thing that I sort of appreciate about Joe Lacob, I think Joe Lacob is type A. I think he is the man in charge, even though he's not the basketball guy. I think that, right, I'm boss. I'm doing this, that, the other. But on some level, he does let the basketball people do the basketball. I think he wants to be involved, but I don't see him necessarily as the one in the room, you know, like holding a gun to anybody's head, like make this move and make it now, even though you don't like it. I don't have that sense about him. I mean, even the fact that we got the story that he wouldn't go to the Valkyries game because he was in the building, but he was in the back room with Mike Dunleavy trying to get into the first round of the draft. Well, again, I ask everybody, how the hell do you think they were going to get there? Who were they going to give up to get into the first round? It wasn't draft capital. They had a second-round pick. So I'm sure, however they were going to get into the first round, the only thing it could be is that second-rounder plus players, maybe a future first-rounder, which I think
they're
increasingly hesitant to give that up because of the age of their stars. They do not want to keep giving up future first-round draft capital. So what were they offering? How did those phone calls go? They called and offered what? There's no question in my mind that Kuminga's name was at least a part of the discussion on some level.
And he was already a part of the KD discussion last year.
Exactly.
So
Joe is ready for this.
He is.
He may go home and barf, but he's ready.
And it's one thing to be ready. It's another thing to be ready to accept a deal that you don't want or a deal that you know is clearly not in favor of you. And so if you're in this spot, June 27th, and you're fishing around for a sign-and-trade partner, and nobody wants to give Kuminga a big, big number in a sign-and-trade, and you realize that, you know, a sign-and-trade may be a bad deal for you, then you have to decide which is going to be the lesser of two losing results. Either you take pennies on the dollar in a sign-and-trade, or you swallow hard and you keep Kuminga and you try to make it work.
This is kind of what I'm worried about, and maybe this is just like a selfish thought, but from our position, and I already told you, I think Monday's show is going to be...
You locked it up repeatedly.
I think it's going to be crazy. I think there's a fair chance that the Warriors do something that on the surface, first glance, is very unpopular. I think that that's very, very possible. Like, they're going to have to maybe weather a little bit of a storm. I mean, we felt this. I mean, think about Jordan Poole for Chris Paul. That was not popular.
No.
That was for two reasons. People are like, you're giving up a young scorer who you punched in the face, and you're bringing back somebody who's almost 40 years old who we've hated watching for 15 years. But the Warriors are like, uh-huh. That's what we did.
Yep.
And we're the Warriors. Trust us. We're fine.
He, by the way, started all 82 this year for San Antonio.
I know.
The aforementioned Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You coaching?
The bad part about that deal was you ended up getting nothing for Chris Paul. So.
Well, and you know that I will forever, I disagree with that because I think the
Warriors. Well, you got the salary slot.
Which is what they wanted.
Sure.
Which is what they wanted.
Yeah.
I think there was a scenario where they got someone to take that and actually get something in return. I think that was on their mind. That's option A, but they were very, very comfortable with option B, which was let's turn Jordan into a salary slot a year from now because we don't want three players making $30-plus
million.
And
you wanted to get out of the second apron, which is so punitive, and so that was something that they got out of it. But if it is a sign-and-trade, I think it's almost a guarantee that what you get back is going to be lesser in fans' eyes than certainly many people feel about Jonathan Kuminga.
What if, and I have no idea about the nuts and bolts of all of this, but you brought up his name and he's been this guy that we've talked about. Okay, Cam Johnson. What if you gave up Jonathan Kuminga and Buddy Hield? And in some complicated way, shape, or form, I don't want to get into, there's a pick swap in 2048.
Right.
Whatever with all that stuff. But what if Jonathan Kuminga and Buddy Hield left and Cam Johnson came? How would you feel?
I would feel good.
See, so would I.
How would general fan feel? They would probably be upset until they get a chance to see it.
See, but I wonder who that player is that comes back. And I do think that that's the difficulty here. There could be names coming back or a name coming back that's sort of like, that's not that exciting. But if you do get someone in their 20s who is averaging over 19 points a game right now in the NBA and fits exactly what you're doing perfectly, I think that you know, there are deals like that people would like. But I don't think there are a lot of them. I don't think there are a lot of them. And so I do foresee a deal, and I think that there is a real good shot that it is not going to be a popular one at first glance.
Right, because Jonathan Kuminga is popular and he's young and he was drafted by the Warriors and he right now is very affordable. So all those things together, even if you bring back Cam Johnson, unless you're a league pass guy, you know, league pass Willard, unless you're totally locked in on watching all 30 teams, you probably don't know who it is. So until you see him actually play and perform and fit with this team,
yep,
your default as a fan is going to be against any trade. Really.
All right. We are at Cache Creek Casino Resort, and as we've told you a number of times, just having an absolute blast. Their big 40th birthday weekend out here with all kinds of special things going on. You can win a car throughout July. We're going to be out here playing the golf course tomorrow. Can't wait to kind of report back on that on Monday. Just a beautiful day out here, and we're having a blast. And we hope you make your way out here sometime soon. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Springwater. Still time for some of your calls on our way to 6 o'clock. Remember, Valkyrie's coming up tonight as well with Angel Reese in town. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs. I still have not been able to bring myself, for whatever reason, to go to WNBA lines.
Why
I don't
not?
Because I don't know enough about all of the teams.
It.
Like
I
don't know. It feels very much to me. It's only like one stair step above when you go bet on the Little League World Series.
First of all,
I'm just like I can't bring myself. Yeah. Rockport, Maine, -1.5. I'm like, what
first
are we doing?
First of all, you take Hawaii and you lay the 5.5 runs
every single time. That's true.
And back in the day, before women's sports became this popular, the women's NCAA tournament.
Oh, that was the easy
layups.
Money.
It was layup lines.
I love that you say back in the day, also known as March.
Well,
I mean, you gave that to me a few months ago, and we crushed.
We did.
Yeah.
But it's tougher now because the odds makers actually pay attention.
Sure.
Back in the day, and I just remember there was a young lady who went to Marin Catholic named Adrian Payne, point guard on their state championship team.
Yep.
She went to Army and played at West Point. They made the tournament, and they opened up against UConn, and UConn was laying probably 46,
yep,
and it should have been 70. And so we laid the lumber on that one because UConn's first team is 80 points better. UConn's second team is 60 points better.
Yeah.
The third string is 30 points better. And so they went out there and they put the hurt on young Adrian Payne and her fellow cadets.
It's like anything else. It's one of the great things in my mind.
Anyway.
It's one of the great things about the WNBA coming to the Bay Area or as many cities as possible, because what we see
Thank
in
you.
Sports constantly when good job, Lucas. Even though I was like 10 seconds late. But no, whenever you have those examples for people, you're going to get more of them, right? You have Tiger Woods,
sure,
hits the ball 330 yards. Now everybody hits the ball 330 yards. When you have now these role models on the women's sports side, you're going to get a lot more good female athletes.
Yep.
It was UConn for a while. That was it. That was the team, and there was nothing anybody can do about it. And now it's going to get spread out, and it's a lot more competitive. And, yes, you're right, people are going to pay more attention and all that. I just haven't been able to bring myself. Someday it'll happen.
Yeah.
I've not been able to lay a WNBA bet yet.
Valks are actually given 8.5.
Good Lord.
At home against the Sky.
What's going on with Chicago this year?
They're terrible.
Okay.
4-10. Angel Reese averaging a double-double.
Okay.
11.3 and 11.9 respectively. Take the Sky in the points. Cuckoosh. That's
what?
That number's too big.
What are you doing? Valk's coming off a loss?
I'm giving out WNBA Liznox.
Valk's coming off of a loss?
Valk's coming off a moral victory. Now, thank you.
Yes, moral victory. But the I can tell you haven't been to a game yet. That's an intense environment.
Yeah.
Angel Reese is not ready for this jelly. Okay? She is not ready for what's about to come down her road at Chase Center here in about 1 hour and 10 minutes. Am I right, Zucci Main, or am I right? That's a man who's been to a Valks game, and he knows you can't come into that house. All right, go ahead.
8.5's too much cuckoosh.
Okay.
I mean,
it's just,
I love the Valks. I've got multiple shirts. Apparently, I'm being told by people with whom I live that lavender's not my color. Washes me out. I thought I looked good in the lab.
It's so not your color. I don't even see you in it. I can look at you and be like, no, don't put on lavender. Don't do that.
It's a classic where I wore my lavender Valks shirt that we got when I was there opening night. You were out gallivanting in Mexico or wherever you and the lovely Christy were.
We were in Cabo.
I'm broadcasting with the hard-hitting Mark Grandy, and we were given shirts. And I go home with the shirt on, and my wife looks up and goes, Oh, no, that looks terrible on you. What? It's my new shirt.
Gosh.
Lavender is not your color.
Yeah. Why do you think Pods wears all those black shirts underneath his Valks jersey?
Well.
Because he also.
Fellow Ginge.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a little Ginge in his game.
A little pasty.
Yeah.
A little pasty in there.
No doubt. Take this guy in the 8.5
Kabush. Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
You might need to find a place to watch the game tonight.
Fade the Dipper. I'm sure they'll have it on here.
I'm sure they will.
You know, a lot of stuff going on here. Yeah. And the show's going to end here in about 6 minutes. And, Lucas, I hope you know how to end the show.
He knows.
On the board.
No, you don't even need to prompt him.
I have to.
Yeah, he knows.
My bad.
He's got a better batting average than Grandy does.
That's a great point. Yeah. And I don't even know if we can end the show without, hey! And I'm a little disappointed that Curtin Hayward Hills is not on hold.
I mean, it doesn't even matter that we're disappointed. Our own listeners are disappointed. Like,
facts.
Yeah, Zuch is over here. He's like, yeah, where the hell's Kurt?
The best sports show on town.
So sometimes when his calls are done, I don't know if he knows if he's been suspended or not.
Huh?
There's that, too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he is.
True.
So I've been noticing that about him. He just calls and then he takes 2 weeks off, like he assumes that he got suspended.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Unlike Draymond, who knows exactly where he is on the technical foul list and how close to a suspension he is.
Very well
Kurt
aware.
Can, you know, sometimes just stumble into a flagrant too.
Sometimes you just got to guess.
You know, exactly.
Yeah. All right, left to your own devices in a beautiful casino floor, what do you do?
Well, I've been scouting the restaurants.
Okay.
So first and foremost, there's going to be a meal that gets eaten.
Which
and then
one?
I haven't fully decided.
No, you need to tell me because I don't want to end up at the same one as you.
It's funny you said that because my lovely wife, Supper, her nickname, because she calls dinner Supper.
Which is what we're about to go do.
She said, oh, you're going to have dinner with Mark and Christy. I said, that's the last thing that any of us want. I spend, Christy,
no,
I love you.
Mad because she's like, no, I would do that. And I'm like, honey, shh.
We get to Friday.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. And you know that I have a deep, deep affection, and I'll say it, a love for you. But I get to Friday at 6 o'clock, and the last thing I want to do is see your mug and hear your voice. Mm-hmm. And I know you feel the exact same way. So
I'm surprised that I haven't left already.
You already told me where you're going to go dine. So of the other 7 great restaurants here.
But we've got an update. We're not dining there anymore. Exactly.
Well, it looks like I'm going to get Chinese.
Okay.
Because you were saying before, we're going to get Chinese. And I thought, you know what? Steakhouse for the Dibber.
We have, flip that thing. Flip it down, flip it in reverse.
You going to get steak?
Yes.
Okay.
We are.
It's funny because my wife and I had this discussion and I was looking at the menu and I was like, ooh, this one looks good. Wagyu, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Market price. And she goes, are you really going to turn that in on an expense report?
Oh, I would totally turn that in.
And
on
I
an
said,
expense
yeah,
report.
You know, but probably won't, but Willard will.
I completely will. Absolutely.
Okay.
And sides.
You're just like, bam, $138 dinner. Because I believe.
Absolutely.
I believe the boss gave instructions like, go easy.
Yeah. Well, what does that mean? Everybody's got their own definition of what that means.
Sure.
Yeah.
To me,
he didn't give out a number.
No, and
so,
numbers are numbers.
Yeah, I was like, no, the steak went down real easy, boss. No problem at all.
When you check the menu, make sure you look at the price.
I'm not ordering the chicken, okay? Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I got breaking news for you.
Oh.
I got breaking news for you.
Like.
Yeah. Hey,
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Oh. He went and played it all the way to the end. I didn't know he was going to do that. All your dreams of Naz Reid, Warriors fans, you can toss them in the ocean.
It's not going to happen. Thank you. Thank you. Try the chicken at the steakhouse.
This show's over. Yeah, that's it. I'm not even, I mean.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry, that's my fault.
Minnesota Timberwolves are keeping Naz Reid on a brand new 5-year, $125 million deal, and it includes a player option. So there it is, Naz Reid, long-term with the Wolves.
Well, if you thought that the Warriors could be in the Naz Reid sweepstakes.
I did.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Well, I mean,
you're playing it. It's good.
It's punchy.
I enjoyed it. We are at that portion of the week where everything becomes somewhat funny.
The stake and the tables are calling. So Cache Creek Casino Resort, thank you for the hospitality. This is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. A live studio audience of 443 people are all ready to rock and have a Friday night. We wish you the same. Lucas, what's about to happen here on Best Of? What are we doing?
Bonte was in. It's a Friday, and he comes in every Friday with the morning roast.
Indeed.
His old stomping grounds. So that's where we pick it up. They're talking a lot of Kuminga, future, just what this Warriors offseason looks like.
Kuminga? They talked about Kuminga
on
the show today?
I know.
That's super weird. All right, Valkyrie's game tonight as well. Don't miss all of that coverage right here on 95.7 The Game. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Dibs, do you want to do this again tomorrow?
No, I'm golfing tomorrow.
Okay, do you want to do it on Sunday?
No, it's the Sabbath, Mark. Okay. I rest.
What about Monday?
In the city with some big time stuff happening.
It's going to be a big day, everybody.
When
okay, the
big day.
All right, for Dibs, for Lucas, I don't want to forget Tim Jordan who came on out here. Jesse, thank you. Thank you, studio audience. Thank you. There you go. Let's do it. Let's shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.